going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spanish Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, and this is WWE Last Week, your weekly look back at the week that was in the WWE. Haven't done this in about 3 weeks. I've been doing other things on here, pay-per-views and previews and other topics and whatnot, but haven't done WWE Last Week in about 3 weeks. Guess I should start with some other stuff. If you go back one podcast, I finally brought back Flicks Fix for 2024. Haven't done one since November last year. I spent quite a while talking about the trailer that just dropped for the new reboot of The Crow. A lot of people got a lot of different opinions about it. I don't quite know where I sit, as you will see in my 20-plus minute ramble as I react to the trailer and stuff like that, so please go check that out if you want. But one podcast before that, you saw the first episode of a brand new series that I am doing called The State of Wrestling, and I'm not doing The State of Wrestling by myself. This podcast, after almost 2.5 years, marked the return of our good friend Jake DeMarco, who has been kicked in the butt by life for the past little while. So really, really, first and foremost, get on Twitter, get on Instagram, at CountdownEnded. Tell him how happy you are to see him back. Jake, if you're listening, thanks for being a part of that. Can't wait to do more stuff with you. That was a lot of fun. And we went on about a lot of stuff, and I talked about AEW for the first time in a long time. And yes, we touched on Mercedes Moné's debut in AEW, and my opinion on that is pretty much what you'd expect. But come along and have some fun with that one with me and Jake, because we got a lot more to talk about in the future. But let's talk about WWE right now. We are in WrestleMania / Stand and Deliver season, are we not? This is going to be the most bullet point podcast ever, because I'm stupidly tired. And as you've seen, as you've followed my feeds, I have been doing some other stuff, but I haven't done this as much. So let's talk about Raw. Raw started off with a promo between Drew and Seth. And I'll be honest with you, I'm looking forward to seeing Drew and Seth at WrestleMania. I do think Drew's going to win. We'll get into that more when I get to like preview territory. I think Seth has been wrestling injured for a long time and he deserves the break. Drew deserves to have a WrestleMania moment in front of an actual crowd. There's not a whole lot that these two are saying to each other right now that they haven't said in the past couple of weeks, so I don't think there's much more that they need to do. Drew came out, cut his promo on Seth, took some sly digs at CM Punk. We're keeping CM Punk in the conversation. I do appreciate that. Seth Rollins, who's a good guy, but also has his problems with CM Punk, went around and said, you know, if there's anybody like CM Punk, it's you. Drew says he's being totally selfish, hogging up all the spotlight. That's why he's grabbed himself more than one match at WrestleMania. You're not looking in your rearview mirror. You're not looking at me. And Seth just ran down the list of things that are on his mind. You know, his partnership with Cody, he's worried about The Rock and Roman and what could happen at WrestleMania and what that means for the future, and all these different things he listed off. And he says, Drew, you're the last thing on my mind, which was kind of savage, I'm not gonna lie. And then he started daring him to claymore him. It's like you're an asshole, you're gonna cheap shot me at some point, why don't you just fucking do it? And Drew came at him with the same exact analogy that somebody else that we're going to talk about in a second did as well. It's like, no, you're not going to steal this from me. I want you at 100% at WrestleMania. Very, very much what Samoa Joe did for MJF in AEW before the absolutely horrendous devil story came to a head. But it is what it is. I do really think, because CM Punk is supposed to be in Chicago this week, CM Punk has been at various other social events. He was at the big old press conference there that outsold a typical episode of Dynamite, on that kickoff panel and all that sort of thing. So I do think he's going to be involved in WrestleMania, even if it's just being on commentary. And I'm pretty sure if I was going to make a prediction right now, they're probably going to have CM Punk do guest commentary for this match. I don't know if he can get physically involved or whether somebody can deck him afterwards or whatever. I don't know what his arm is like, but CM Punk, we know he can do commentary, you know, even if he borrows Triple H's blazer, if you know, you know. But I think that'd be good. I do think that Drew McIntyre, because of Seth Rollins being involved in this bigger... Seth Rollins has basically become a bit part player in Cody Rhodes' story, which automatically sort of reinforces one title being worth more than the other. But because he's still in that conversation, he's still at the forefront. I think out of all of them, if you look at Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth, and Drew, Drew is really just the spare prick at the wedding. I don't know how you help him recover from... I don't even think him winning the title is going to get us off that particular feeling. Now, onto ladies' action, because, you know, it's a company that can actually promote women's wrestling. Becky Lynch defeated Liv Morgan. This was not even the point. Liv Morgan is on a mission. I said this in the podcast with Guapo. Liv Morgan is on a losing streak right now, but it's a losing streak with a purpose. She doesn't have a problem with Becky Lynch. She has a mission to go towards Rhea Ripley. And anybody that gets in her way, in this case Becky Lynch, is going to be an enemy by proxy almost. Now, the two of them did shake hands after the match. There was some shared respect between the two of them after the match, and then two things happened. Rhea Ripley came out and cut a promo on Becky and says, it's really, really funny, you're working yourself to death, and da-da-da-da-da. Is that going to be your excuse after WrestleMania when I beat you? So very, very similar to what Drew was saying to Seth, and to have those two heels run out and do those two identical trains of thought wasn't the best thing in the world, but I mean, I like Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is a fucking star. Becky Lynch is probably overall the best total package out of the four horsewomen. And I mean, I love Bayley. I love Charlotte. Sasha Banks is not an element anymore. But I think overall, character, like, you know, light your fire when the lights are on bright and all that kind of thing. Becky Lynch is it. Becky Lynch is a better overall star than Charlotte. Charlotte's a better wrestler. Bayley is the sympathetic babyface, and she's going to be slipping back into that role real, real quick. But Becky is huge. But put the two of them side by side. Put the two of them side by each as far as, like, who's got a bigger rocket right now. Rhea Ripley should eat Becky Lynch's lunch. And for Becky to keep going on and being the grinder, being the one that comes in every week and has a match, while Rhea Ripley just sits there and pumps some iron and looks awesome and gets ready for Mania, I think it's hysterical for her to say, oh yeah, you're just having all these other matches so you have an excuse when I beat you. I think her using that line of thought is more effective than Drew McIntyre, if I'm completely honest with you. I think it's not a hot take to say that Rhea Ripley's a bigger star. In the current form that we're in 2024 WWE leading into this year's WrestleMania, I think Rhea Ripley would main event over Drew McIntyre. I don't think that's a stretch. As they are in the back, Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan, they share their handshake, they share their mutual respect, and Becky Lynch gets trucked once again by Nia Jax. Because Nia Jax is still a thing, unfortunately. And Becky Lynch challenges her to a last woman standing match this week on Raw, which only goes back to what Rhea Ripley was saying about, oh, you're going to come in not 100% and you're going to have an excuse when I beat you at WrestleMania. Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis decide that they've finally made a decision about the Unified Tag Team Championships. Now, we were expecting they're going to finally be unified, there's going to be one set of tag titles, or that they were going to be split and each show was going to have a set of belts. They didn't announce either, but they announced what's going to happen with those titles at WrestleMania, and what's going to happen with those titles at WrestleMania is a WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championship 6-pack tag team ladder match. Say that 5 times fast. So it's going to be the Judgment Day and 5 other teams and a bunch of 12 people and ladders and the belts, and it's going to be fucking awesome. And there's going to be qualifying matches over the next few weeks. I wanted them, because they're Universal titles, and yes, I know NXT has their own titles, but I wanted them to sort of have qualifying matches on all three brands. That would have been a lot of fun. Maybe bring up like a team like Hank and Tank and give them like an unrealistic sort of shot at the big time type of thing, but they're not doing that because they're doing their own tournament to see who gets to face the Wolfdogs at Stand and Deliver, and that's going to be the OC. Let's be real for a second. They went down there for a reason. It's going to be the big pile of people match. I think this on one night and whatever form LWO versus the Legado, because I think that's going to be a multi-person match as well. I think those are your two big pile of people matches for the two nights. And that'll work out absolutely fine. We get more development on this later on in the night. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell defeated Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree. The match is incidental. The awkward part of this for me and everybody else, and the talking point to come out of this match, was that Candice LeRae kind of stood in front of Maxine Dupree before she did the Caterpillar. She said, no, you're not going to do this here. Like, we're not going to make this mockery out of this match. Let me tell you that you suck, and that's why everybody boos you. And if you think what people in the crowd say about you, you should hear what we say about you in the locker room. I'm just glad your dead brother isn't here to see how much you suck. Indy Hartwell hits her with a boot after all of that sort of emotional berating, and they win the match. And then in several .com backstage exclusives, you've got Katana Chance, Caden Carter, Indy Hartwell are all sort of saying, hey, Candice, what was all that about? Candice LeRae obviously turning heel again. But she says, I don't think any of that matters. What matters is a tick in the win column. So Candice LeRae works at the AEW school of, we've got a ranking system, except we really don't. Interesting. People got all twisted up about it. I'm going to say what I usually say with stuff like this, going way back to the Charlotte and Paige thing. The person involved, and the person whose family is involved in that line of dialogue, in this case, is Maxine Dupree. I don't know her real name. As long as she's cool with it, what can we really say? And no, this is not the same as the Juice Robinson MJF thing, because the Juice Robinson MJF thing was not just targeted at MJF, but it was targeted at an entire demographic of people. So before you come at me with that stupid argument, it doesn't work because they're not the same. Come to me when your company can actually book a women's division, and then we can talk about this one. Cody Rhodes cut his crying promo, talking about once again what the story is, and he played an interview that he had with Michael Cole a while ago when he was a tag team champion, and said, you know, hey, what does this mean? Is this what your story meant, or whatever? And he talks about he can't give the belt to his dad, so he's gonna give it to his mom, and his voice cracks and he cries, and he talks about his wife, because we all know Cody Rhodes solved racism by slapping a batch of muck up his wife. I'm really trying to give Cody a chance. I really am. But this shit ain't it. He's gonna win at WrestleMania. Fine, cool. He's the guy. I went into great detail. Again, I want to say once again, go back and check out the podcast that me and Jake did. Cody's not my guy, but I can't deny him either. If you want to know what I mean by that, go back and listen to the other podcast. I really want to be on board, because this is where we're going anyway. I might as well get on board. But this shit ain't it. This shit ain't it. It was well done. It was like Jared Leto's Joker. It was well done. I just don't like what they did. I think it's getting tedious, it's getting repetitive, etc. The Kabuki Warriors decided to remind us that they exist by defeating Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, with the additional outside interference of Dakota Kai and Asuka. This was used mostly as an opportunity to plug the fact that on SmackDown we're going to be seeing Dakota Kai versus Bayley, because Dakota Kai is cleared. In the midst of all this, you know, Damage Control turned on her, and it was her and Dakota, and then she turned on her as well to join Damage Control again. What's been lost in the middle of all this is the fact that Dakota Kai is cleared and can wrestle again, which is fucking awesome. I really wish that Shayna and Zoe had something to do at WrestleMania. I don't know about Zoe Stark, but we just got the announcement this week that Shayna Baszler is going to be participating in GCW's Josh Barnett Bloodsport. I'm not going to pretend that I know what the fuck that means. I'm really not. But it does fly in the face of the whole, oh, WWE, they trap their wrestlers. They don't let them wrestle anywhere else. Remember when Dustin Rhodes said, never call me Goldust again? That was my slave name. And now people are saying that about Sasha Banks. They never let their stars do anything. Okay, well, in the past year or so, Nakamura was part of Great Muda's farewell tour. And what's his name? Charlie Dempsey, representing NXT over at All Japan. He went and had a match at Corican Hall, and now Shayna Baszler's doing this, and apparently she's not the only one. Apparently there's more announcements to come. On that card, I will say, we're getting Nick Nemeth versus Mike Bailey as well, so I might have to check out that card. Timothy Thatcher is on there as well. Alexander Wolf is on there as well, as people that I just like. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. They're not WWE people, so I'm not saying it in the same vein as this. But it's kind of cool. And from what I have heard about the Bloodsport concept, Shayna Baszler sounds like the perfect representative. I don't know whether they're going to show any of that at WrestleMania. Like, hey, like, isn't this cool? Look what Shayna Baszler did while the rest of us were having WrestleMania. But apparently she and Josh Barnett are close, and Josh Barnett and Triple H are close. So why wouldn't you do stuff like this? In the back, I mean, I don't really... I feel like I'm grazing over that, but I don't know much about the Josh Barnett Bloodsport thing, so I don't want to sit here and pretend that I know what I'm talking about. But I do think it's cool that once again WWE is flying in the face of this wild accusation that they trap their wrestlers. Okay, sure, fine, whatever. In the back, we get another tease of Andrade and the Judgment Day. The rest of the Judgment Day say, hey, you know, Dom's not here tonight. Dom got married. Hey, thumbs up for Dom. Dom's not here tonight, but he speaks really highly of you. After we all get our respective business out of the way, maybe we can talk and do some business. Andrade says, I'm all about business, which is fine. Priest beat the shit out of R-Truth, which is fine. DIY came out with R-Truth, and they beat them all down, and they're building to something. I thought they were building to a 4-on-4 against DIY and Awesome Truth, who are now Regeneration X. But now I think it's just the fact that both DIY and Awesome Truth are going to be in that ladder match. Now, it would be funny if Judgment Day want to have an insurance policy and not only Balor and Priest, but also JD and Dominic are also in that ladder match, because, like, hey, even if we lose, other guys in our group could win, and it could give Damian Priest a chance to focus on the Money in the Bank briefcase. It could give... Maybe I could give Finn Balor a chance to go after Gunther or something of that ilk if they're going to stay together after WrestleMania. But I did think at one point that Regeneration X was going to be part of a 4-on-4 some kind of combination match. I also think that there's a slight possibility that whatever LWO and Legado do at WrestleMania, Dom could slip over to SmackDown and have something to do with that as well. So a lot of different possibilities there. They show some footage from whatever the last UFC event was. I think it was like $4.99, $5.99, you know, something like that. Remember when WWE came out and it was $9.99 and everybody got that drilled into their heads? I don't know anything about UFC. I just like that they showed some pictures of their stars that were at the event, obviously cross-promoting, but also like, hey, check this out. They showed a picture of Rhea Ripley and Buddy Matthews. And there's a time where WWE wouldn't have done that. And I think that's pretty cool. It's a tiny, tiny step. It's not the end. It's not going to set the world on fire. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, AEW stars are going to be spoken highly of by WWE. And they shouldn't, because AEW continues to have the illusion that they're going to destroy them. But Rhea and Buddy are a couple. Everybody knows it. All the jokes about Dominic aside, and yeah, here's all of our great stars that were at the UFC event. Rhea Ripley's there with her significant other. Now, if you follow them on social media as well, they're both gamers, and they got a big, like, arcade-style cabinet system for their game room, and it's half of it is House of Black and half of it is Judgment Day, as far as the theme of it, which I think is really cool, considering that House of Black is basically a ripoff of the Judgment Day. But we don't need to talk about that right now, do we? Kind of out of nowhere, Jay storms to the ring, and he lays out the challenge for Jimmy at Mania, and he says, brother versus brother, blood versus blood, oos versus oos, me versus me, which was an odd way to phrase it. I know they're twins, but me versus me, it's, for him to say, oh, it's like I'm fighting against a mirror would be fine, me versus me, and Jimmy versus Jay. It's the match we all knew was going to happen, and here's the thing, I hope it's good. I really do. People are predicting that it won't be good. But I'm going to give them a pass on this in the same way, and I always use the mix tag from a couple years ago as an example, when it was Miz and Cena and their respective significant others, and they just had a mix tag, and it was fine, and it was fun, and it was kind of throwaway and whatever. But you could tell that they were having fun. Like, they got to partner with their significant others, and they got to go out there and have a good time. For the amount of time that the Usos have been talking in interviews and hinting backstage and so on and so forth, that their ultimate thing was to face each other at WrestleMania, I gotta be happy for them. Somebody shared me a what do you call it? A meme on social media, on X and on Instagram, and it was basically this weird thing that's happened where every 15 years at WrestleMania, two brothers fight each other. It was Bret and Owen, and then it was Matt and Jeff, and now it's Jimmy and Jay, and I thought that was really kind of cool. I think that's really cool. Like, even if the match shits the bed, and I don't think it will, because Jimmy's gone crazy, and Jay is a champion without a belt. At this point, if you want my honest opinion, that match is going to be awesome. And then we had the gauntlet to see who would face Gunther at WrestleMania, because people were worried that it was going to be a multi-person match, and I get it, but multi-person matches also kick ass. It was Ricochet, JD McDonagh, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, and Chad Gable. And of course, it came down to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, and Gable didn't win. Gable's got the story with Gunther. Sami Zayn has the story of I need to get myself a championship. I need to give myself. He was talking for a while like he was going to be the one to go up against Seth Rollins, which would have been a really interesting match. But obviously they've detoured away from that and gone with this instead. Sami Zayn versus Gunther is a wicked match. And it's one of those things where now if people are fighting for a chance to go to WrestleMania, the winner goes to WrestleMania, and the loser is somebody you've kind of decided isn't going to WrestleMania. We're getting like that close to the wire with it. This is not a situation like when they do a tournament and they say, "Oh, we're gonna have like a last chance battle royal or something like that." This was not that. But I came out of this match and I'm like, okay, Sami Zayn versus Gunther is awesome. Gable versus Gunther would have been an awesome match as well. Either one of them, though, this is my point. Like, the loser is potentially not doing anything at WrestleMania. If Gable had won, I would have been heartbroken for Sami Zayn. If Sami Zayn, in the context, don't get me wrong, if Gable had won, I would have been heartbroken for Sami Zayn. If Sami Zayn did win, I'm heartbroken for Gable. So there's two people that have to win this match, and being heartbroken for the Chad Gable character proves what WWE has done to get him to this point. If they had gone the other way around, the heartbreak you would feel for Sami Zayn would prove how well they've built him to come to this point. Now, the rumor is, because there's going to be a contract signing this week on Raw, and people are predicting that it's going to be interrupted by Chad Gable. Chad Gable did about a 5-minute interview in character on .com as well that you should check out. I don't always check out the stuff from WWE.com, but this one was being shared around, so I checked it out. He was very respectful to Sami Zayn. He wouldn't reveal what Sami Zayn said to him at the end of the match, which I'm sure will be revealed later. And there's shots of it where it looks like his shoulder isn't actually down, and Gable, in that interview, said, "Yeah, he got the best of me on the night. He found a way to win, but he didn't really beat me." And I thought, that's an interesting way to go about it, because he's being respectful, but he's having his own back as well. Zayn versus Gunther, as it is right now, is awesome. If Gable gets thrown in, I'm more convinced that Gunther will retain, because when Gunther loses, it's going to be in a one-on-one match. So, does that happen? Does he come out and ask to be involved in a triple threat match, and Sami Zayn says, "Hey man, look, I respect you and all that, but I won, this is my match," and Gable turns on Sami, and then after WrestleMania, maybe Sami dethrones Gunther, and you have a whole program post-WrestleMania between Sami and Gable for the Intercontinental Championship. That'd be fucking awesome. You do that, you put the focus on that, you very, very quickly sort of scoop Gunther into the world title picture, so it doesn't quite feel like he's losing upwards, but maybe he kind of does a little bit. There's all kinds of potential there, but even if they don't play around with it anymore, even if this is the match we're getting and Gable has to go do something else, maybe him and Otis are in the ladder match. But the thing is, if you've seen Main Event, and I've seen like one episode of Main Event in the last three, four, 5 weeks, the Alpha Academy tag team now recently has been Otis and Tozawa. So I don't know what to go with that. Happy for Sami Zayn. Happy to see Sami Zayn versus Gunther on a huge stage. That'll be awesome. I got to feel like if CM Punk was still here and he was still facing Seth Rollins, the match would have been Sami Zayn versus Drew McIntyre, and then you would have had Gable versus Gunther. But that's four matches affected by one guy not being there. That one guy must be pretty good. AEW kind of fucked up on that one. Briefly, we'll talk on NXT for a bit. I don't always do NXT in WWE last week, but we are getting into Stand and Deliver season as well. We're also working towards figuring out who's going to go to Stand and Deliver to face the Wolf Dogs for the Tag Team Championships. It's going to be the OC, let's be real for a second, but in a first-round match, look, the LWO defeated OTM. OTM are strange. The Wolf Dogs were watching on from the Crow's Nest area. Roxanne Perez came out and cut a heel speech about what she did to Lyra Valkyria at Roadblock, breaking her arm, etc. She talked about carrying the division on her shoulder, talked about how nobody really gave a shit when she had to abandon the title, so now Lyra's going to have to abandon the title, so I'll take it now. Thanks, Ava, you want to come out and present it to me? Ava comes out and says, well, no, we're going to see how she's doing, and then Tatum Paxley, who's Lyra's like unhinged stalker person, attacked her for injuring Lyra. We're going to get that match next week. It's fine. Roxanne and Lyra is the match. Let's be real for a second. They've played it up like that. They played up the absolute opposites attract, or not opposites attract, but opposites colliding element of the NXT Championship match by dropping Ilya Dragunov into Tony D's mob restaurant, where he takes him to a bridge and threatens to throw him in the river and then doesn't. And then we think about Two Dimes, RIP, and we go from there. It's so bizarre seeing Ilya Dragunov and a character like Tony D'Angelo cutting promos on each other. It's weird. Lexus King defeats Mr. Stone. Von Wagner comes out after to make the save. Mr. Stone is a wrestler, but he's playing a manager in WWE, so they got to pick a lane with that. I love the Mr. Stone Von Wagner stuff. It's great. I love the absolutely obnoxious Lexus King thing that they got going on. I heard somebody suggest that at Stand and Deliver, it should be Lexus King and Von Wagner in a Tables, Ladders, and Thrones match, which I think would be fantastic, and it would be just what NXT ordered. Or save that for Heatwave in Toronto so I can see it live. In the back, we have a face-to-face with Obafemi and Dijak. Obafemi had already been attacked in the parking lot by Josh Briggs to set up their match tonight that had been, or sorry, to perpetuate their match that had been set up last week. Josh Briggs, who's just grown himself a set of balls, went after Obafemi for the North American Championship to predictive results. I don't know what you want me to say here. Obafemi kills Brooks Jensen. Josh Briggs is standing there watching. So Josh Briggs and Dijak are both lined up as matches for Obafemi. That could be your big meaty mania match for the North American Championship. You get Josh Briggs, Dijak, and Obafemi in a triple threat match. I know I'm pushing a lot of triple threat matches. I apologize, but I'm not really apologizing. Ariana Grace, Jesus Christ, Ariana Grace, daughter of Santino Marella, the beauty pageant queen who doesn't want to fight and is yet somehow a wrestler in NXT, versus Gigi Dolin in a match where if she wins, she gets to give Gigi Dolin a makeover. It gets to be Miss Congeniality or, whatever you want to call it. And it's absolutely going to be that. The match was fine. Both ladies hit a low blow on each other. The match was lost by disqualification, and now we're going to get a Gigi Dolin makeover. She lost by DQ because of a low blow. There's a Nyla Rose joke in there somewhere that I'm not going to touch. It's fine, but it is hysterical. Yes, I agree that somebody getting kicked will hurt, no matter if you're a guy or a girl. But really, it goes back to the old days of China low-blowing people and then Pat Patterson trying to give China a low blow and her laughing at him. Like, it goes back to simple shit like this, but, like, this is the absolute stupidity that I want from this NXT. It really, really is. We get a big babyface speech from Thea Hale, because Thea Hale was supposed to go against Kiana James and her partner, whose name I can't remember, to be perfectly honest. She was supposed to go in there with Kalani Jordan. Kalani Jordan got injured. Fallon Henley sort of swooped in and took her spot instead. Fallon Henley is sort of stepping up into this new role as sort of like the positive locker room leader, like player coach type character, which is awesome. They still lost. JC Jane and her new friend are out there laughing at her, and she finally breaks out. She was like I used to think you were the coolest person in the world. I used to think you were my I thought you were my friend. She did the Batista, it's fine. But she's like, I don't need you, I don't need anybody, there's nothing wrong with me, you're the one that's fucking rotten, Thea Hale's fucking back, bitch. And then she like runs like chaotically around the ring. Two people that need to hold gold in 2024: Fallon Henley, Thea Hale. Let's go. If Roxanne Perez beats Lyra Valkyria at Stand and Deliver, and Lyra Valkyria doesn't get a rematch, if she's coming up to the main roster too, which would also be awesome, you got two good contenders for Roxanne Perez right there in Thea Hale and Fallon Henley. Absolutely great. Was it overly, like, teen comedy movie ending where the girl finds out that she was pretty all along or some shit like that? Yes, it absolutely was. But again, it's a Chase U storyline, so it basically is a sitcom. It's fine. It's not Jesse Spano deciding to give up drugs. Let's be real for a second. Spears defeated Ridge Holland by using a chair and then not using a chair and then dropping him with the C4 on the chair because the referee didn't get the chair all the way out of the ring. Shawn Spears is another one. You take that match I talked about a second ago with Obafemi and Dijak and Josh Briggs, throw Shawn Spears in there as well, and just make it some sort of ridiculous... Make it a friggin', like, I don't want to go too stupid, but like, make it a Hell in the Cell match. Those four guys in a Hell in the Cell match. Three big guys and a crazy guy. And let's just have a fatal four-way for the North American Championship. I was sort of pushing up until recently, pick five guys, have them have qualifying matches or whatever, have a five-person ladder match for that belt, because it literally goes back to the history of that belt and how that belt was initially decided. I'm trying to remember now whether it was Ricochet or Adam Cole, baby. I think it was Adam Cole, baby. Trick Williams comes out, and this is the last segment of the evening, and it's very much Trick Williams, like, hey, I was talking to Carmelo Hayes, who's not there, and I had your back, and I just wanted you to be as happy for me as I was for you, but, you know, now we gotta do what brothers do, we gotta fight this out, and it's gonna happen at Stand and Deliver. And he's interrupted, but it's not by Carmelo Hayes, it's by the Metaphor and Noam Dar. And I cackled when I saw this. I'm like, Noam Dar is going to get fed to Trick Williams and it's going to be awesome. So they try to attack him. And for some reason, he and Lash Legend are in the center of the ring. And instead of like her slapping him or whatever, he gives her the old romantic dip and they make out in the ring. Apparently, they're a couple in real life. So this is the thing. But here's the thing right now. And somebody said it on social media. I think it was Simon Miller of What Culture. They're basically booking Trick Williams to be an action hero. You know, he's going to be the guy that beats up all the bad guys and watches all the explosions, and then in the end he gets the girl. I'm like, that's kind of fucking awesome. That's kind of what we have a mob movie on this show. We have a high school drama on this show. We have some crazy people on this show. Why wouldn't we have an action star on the show? And if that action star is going to be Trick Williams, that's absolutely fine, because Carmelo Hayes is going to the main roster and he's going to kill it. Absolutely fine. SmackDown. First half hour of the show was a rock concert. The rock concert is always awesome. People are actually complaining backstage because The Rock gets to swear on his social media. It's not fair. This is like Naomi's entrance being cut 2 weeks ago. Oh, they're burying Naomi. No, they're not burying Naomi. There are just priorities in WWE. Naomi's the one that walked out on the company. Naomi should be happy that she's back, in my personal opinion. And Naomi ain't the fucking Rock. Get over it. But he cuts a promo. He cuts the same promo that he cut on social media under the PG parameters, because he's on the show now. He talks about the Cody crybabies, and he talks about the gift that he's going to give Cody's mom, and he pulls out a weight belt, and it's stamped with the with the Brahma Bull logo, and he promises to whip the hell out of Cody Rhodes, cover that belt in Cody's blood, and give it to his mother. Fantastic. The Rock firing on all cylinders. They sort of slammed awkwardly from his current music to his old, like, Hollywood rock music that's a little less... It's got a little less flair to it. It's got a little bit more of a march to it, and I think all of that is key. All of it. The $500 shirts that I'm sure are not actually $500. The way that through the entire concert he played like he was a babyface rock star that loves the entire crowd and then proceeded to tell somebody's mother that he was going to gift her with her son's blood courtesy of a weight belt. And it's kind of funny because, you know, think about what Cody Rhodes does to get all of his pomp and circumstance and goes around giving the belt to all the people and doing all the things. He's John Cena, except his fans don't want to acknowledge it. It's absolutely fine. Speaking of tag team title situation, they're doing a weird sort of like two bracket tournament on SmackDown. Legado del Fantasma, the new Legado del Fantasma, which is Angel and Umberto, who is just Berto on the graphic, which is weird, they defeated the LWO. The LWO are in contention for the NXT tag titles, so there's a bit of crossover there. Legado has taken them out of the ranking for the actual WrestleMania match. They will go on to further this bracket towards a shot at being in that ladder match that was announced on Monday Night Raw. LA Knight, who hasn't been seen in a while, says he's been looking all over the place for AJ Styles, and... Again, I gotta go back to Simon Miller. Like, when he says he's been looking for AJ Styles, I see him, like, walking around his house, looking under the couch cushions, and peeking under the bed, and looking in the fridge, like some sort of really shitty kids mystery movie. Challenges AJ for a match at Mania. AJ comes out from the back with a chair, once again attacks him with a steel chair, unfolds the chair, sits on the chair, which is resting on LA Knight's throat, and accepts his challenge for WrestleMania. Now, the thing about AJ Styles right now that's kind of interesting me is normally people go out and grab themselves a bunch of backup when they turn heel because the numbers advantage is a heel thing. AJ Styles, in turning heel, left his faction behind to go solo as a heel, which is, I don't know if that's anything, but it could be something because they're kind of loosely playing the story that Meechin wants the OC to get back together again. She's been using the Styles Clash in a couple of matches as, like, shout-outs to AJ. The other members of the OC are down in NXT right now. They're going to be NXT Tag Team Champions, which will never not make me laugh. But I don't know. I don't know how taking his backup away from him is a way to build a heel, unless he's so ignorant and arrogant that, like, I don't need anybody... Like, he's drinking his own Kool-Aid, so to speak. Now, people are upset with him because he thinks the Earth is flat, which I think is the stupidest reason in the world to not like somebody. Do I think the Earth is flat? No. Do I think somebody else thinking that the Earth is flat is a reason to hate them? No. Also, birds aren't real. Moving on, birds aren't real is a way more funny conspiracy theory, as well as, you know, Coke and Pepsi are actually the same company. It's fine. Logan Paul is in Nick Aldis's office. I'm going to go right past that. Logan Paul is in Nick Aldis's office demanding that Nick Aldis make Randy Orton apologize to KSI for the RKO on the Prime logo on the ring when they made the announcement about the Prime logo being in the WWE ring. Again, I'm going to throw it back one more time. The whole branded ring thing, as well as WWE's move to Netflix. A couple more topics we covered in a lot more detail in The State of Wrestling with myself and Jake DeMarco. Please go and check it out. But Aldis says, well, you're the champ. Why don't you go make him apologize to you? So he sits there on commentary at ringside for a match between Austin Theory and Randy Orton. And he says, I'm going to get my apology afterwards. It turns into a 3-on-1 pretty quickly. Kevin Owens comes down to make the save. We have this really cool stunner into an RKO spot on Austin Theory. Austin Theory, when he finds his role as a goofball, is great. When he tries to take himself seriously, it doesn't really work. But when he finds his role as a goofball, as a guy that's there basically to get his ass kicked and give the audience that catharsis of an asshole getting his ass kicked, he's kind of great, actually. I hope A-Town Down Under are in that ladder match, because not so much Austin Theory, but definitely Grayson Waller could shine in a situation like that. But also, Nick Aldis coming out on stage and saying to Logan Paul, "Hey man, did you get that apology you were looking for? Oh, by the way, I've found your opponent for WrestleMania. Oh, sorry, I meant to say your opponents, plural, because it's going to be Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens," which is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So there's another match for WrestleMania. After that, we get Jimmy accepting Jay's challenge backstage and staring way too crazily and awkwardly into the camera for an uncomfortable amount of time. So in the past, 3 minutes, we've gotten LA Knight versus AJ Styles confirmed. We've gotten Logan Paul's United States Championship match confirmed. We've got Jimmy versus Jay confirmed. Next match, Legado beat the crap out of Dragon Lee, because Santos had a match with Dragon Lee that didn't last very long. The save was made by Carlito and Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio challenges Santos Escobar to a match next week, which is awesome. And I'll tell you why it's awesome, because Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio one-on-one at WrestleMania would be fun, but I don't know that that's enough to play off this entire group versus this entire group. So what I think is going to happen is we're going to get Rey versus Santos next week. It's obviously not going to have a finish, and they're going to tell us what it is. For me, here's what you do, and I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again. Put them all in. Put all the luchadors in this match. Whatever night you're not doing the ladder match, have that be the pile of people. Say they do the ladder match on night one, as an example. There's your big pile of people match for night one. Your big pile of people match for night two could be Rey Mysterio, Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, Bad Bunny, Carlito, Dragon Lee, Zelina Vega versus Santos, Umberto, Angel, maybe Dominic Mysterio, maybe Andrade, Electro Lopez. Put them all in there. Put them all in there. A big pile of good lucha stuff. Big pile of good lucha stuff. Legado versus LWO. Could be a lot of fun. But yeah, the fact that we're getting that one-on-one match next week tells me we're getting some kind of group dynamic at WrestleMania, which is absolutely fine. In the search to join the ladder match at WrestleMania, we also saw the New Catch Republic defeating Pretty Deadly. Because Pretty Deadly, kind of like Austin Theory, are there to be obnoxious and get beaten. And I really, 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 really like the fact that not so much Tyler Bate, but definitely Pete Dunne, who I sat front row at Destiny, check it off your Spice Phoenix bucket list, it's fine. Way too many times watching him defend that Destiny title. It's been way too long since I've seen Pete Dunne with a title on his shoulder. Let's get that shit done. There's a conspiracy theory out there right now. Because they did not unify the titles, nor did they say that the titles are going to go back on separate brands, there is a conspiracy theory going around that one team, that with all the belts hung up, one team is going to grab one set of belts, one team is going to grab the other set of belts, and that's how we're going to decide. But if you're up there grabbing belts, why wouldn't you just grab all four of them? So it's slightly flawed, but if they're going to separate the belts and if that's how they do it, I won't exactly hate it. That's about as much as I can say. And in the main, again, kind of predictable, Bayley taking on Dakota for being the last one to turn on her, even when the rest of the group already had turned on her. Good match for what it was. Like I say, awesome to see Dakota Kai back in the ring. Devolves into a 4-on-1 beatdown pretty quickly. And Naomi comes down and very much fails to make the save. Now, a lot of people are saying that we're going to get Naomi, Jade Cargill, and Bianca Belair taking on the Kabuki Warriors and Dakota Kai. I'll tell you why that doesn't work. Because apparently there's going to be a 4-on-4. On whatever the go home, not the actual SmackDown of WrestleMania weekend, because that's literally WrestleMania SmackDown, but the SmackDown before that apparently is going to have all four members of Damage Control taking on Bayley, Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill. There we go. Thank you, Brain. And then it's going to break off into the title match and then the 3-on-3. 3-on-3 doesn't work because the complaint all year, or for several years now, is that those tag titles barely mean anything. They're on a cool team now. people like Asuka and Kairi, people like the Kabuki Warriors, people like the long-running story of damage control, play up on that by having an actual title defense at WrestleMania. And don't just make it a showcase like they did last year. Make it an actual one team on one team. And then whoever the odd one out is, like, the rumor for a while was that it was going to be Bianca and Jade. Cool. If you want to have another exhibition match in addition to that, where it's Naomi taking on Dakota Kai, or whether Naomi's just in the corner and Dakota Kai is just in the corner, then that's fine. But you need to defend those titles. There's two nights of WrestleMania now. There's no excuse to not defend those championships. But yeah, there's a lot to play around with. We still haven't decided. They're doing this thing right now where Bianca Belair is sort of hesitant to help Bayley, because she's not a heel, but she's doing the Drew McIntyre thing of like, oh my god, don't you remember what Jey Uso did to us? Don't you remember what the Bloodline did to us? Well, hey, don't you remember what Bayley and Damage Control did to us? So we're going to see the story of her slowly changing her mind, eventually helping the rest of the babyfaces, and that'll be fine. So we know where she is in the story. We do need to include Jade Cargill. I still believe that if Charlotte wasn't injured, we'd be getting Charlotte versus Jade Cargill, which is the best singles debut that Jade Cargill could possibly ask for. And I'm not saying that to not do it. Jade Cargill, they're clearly treating her like a star. But you want to have her first ever one-on-one match. Do it at WrestleMania. Do it with Charlotte Flair and just fucking do it. But obviously Charlotte's injured now, which sucks. So whatever combination you're going to get of those other ladies, but leave Bayley and Io as the one-on-one match that has had the least attention. I've seen this complaint as well. You've got Seth versus Drew, you've got Cody versus Roman, you've got Rhea versus Becky, and lost in the shuffle. I mean, go back to the big stadium press conference thing that they did. It was the only title match that wasn't mentioned or represented at all. They brought out Bianca Belair for reasons. I think that's because they were plugging her and Montez's show at the time, but that's not crucial to WrestleMania, is it? They got to do something to get Io Bayley on a similar scale as the other four title matches. It's just a fact. Like, I'm loving the build to WrestleMania, but that is one match that has kind of been ignored a little bit, if that makes any sense at all. But overall, the WrestleMania weekend card is pretty stacked already. If you include Stand and Deliver, we're probably getting the Wolf Dogs versus the OC. We're probably getting Obafemi defending against some combination of Dijak, Josh Briggs, or Sean Spears. We're probably getting Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. It's been confirmed that we're getting Carmelo versus Trick, and we are getting Tony D'Angelo versus Ilya Dragunov for the NXT Championship. Now, on the other side of the coin, we've got AJ Styles versus LA Knight. We've got Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. We've got Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton for the United States Championship. We've got the six-pack ladder match for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. We've got Sami Zayn taking on at least Gunther for now for the Intercontinental Championship. We've got Rollins versus Drew for the world title. We've got Io versus Bayley for the WWE Women's title. We've got Ripley versus Becky for the world women's title. We've got Cody versus Roman for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. Maybe or maybe not in a Bloodline Rules match, depending on the result of Cody and Rollins versus Roman and Rock. That's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of matches. It's a lot of good shit. It's a lot of goosebumps running up and down the arm, as the great one would say. This is a hell of a WrestleMania season, and it's a lot for me to get caught up on, because like I say, I haven't done WWE last week in quite a while. Hope you guys are having a good time. Hope you guys are enjoying this. Let me know about everything that I've talked about at Spaz Phoenix. But yeah, I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all of these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging out. Bye, guys.